Vav Metzia, Perik Yud, Mishneh Hey, 10:5. Misha Haya Kosel Samach Leginas Chavero VeNafal. A guy has a wall. It's next to his neighbor's backyard where he has his vegetable patch growing, and the wall falls into the vegetable patch of his friend. Avamar lo pane avanecha. So the guy with the vegetable patch says to the guy who has the wall, clean up your mess. Take those rocks, those bricks, whatever they are, out of my garden so I can keep on doing my vegetable patch thing. Va'amar lo higi ucha. And the guy who owns the wall says, listen, those bricks are worth plenty of money. You can keep them and just, I'm not interested in cleaning up. You can keep the mess and it's like, you're the winner here. Ein shomalo, we don't accept that claim. If the guy's wall fell into his neighbor's backyard, he has a responsibility to clean it up, and he can't just give it to the neighbor and therefore be absolved of his liability, his responsibility. But that assumes that the neighbor with the garden didn't want to accept his offer. But Misha Kibla Love, if the neighbor says, okay, fine, that's great, I needed some bricks, he'll keep them. If Amar Lo, if then the guy who had previously owned the wall says to him, Heilach esitzio secha v'ani etol eshali, he says, listen, here's money for your efforts. I'll cover your expenses for cleaning up that mess, but I'll take my bricks back. Thank you very much, because, you know, he gets like FOMO. He doesn't want to lose after all. Ein shomalo. Too bad for him. We don't listen to him, the guy who used to own the wall but now lost it, because as soon as he said you can have the bricks, so then the neighbor, immediately by accepting that offer, has like a kinyan chatzer, his property will acquire the bricks in his behalf. Now they belong 100% to the new owner, the guy who had the garden, and therefore the guy who had the wall can't get it back. Now, a slight different case. Hasocher es apoa la'asos imo b'tevin uvakash. You have an employer who hires a guy to clean up his field, to collect the tevin and kash, that's the straw and the stubble, whatever it is. That means the part of the grain that doesn't have the actual kernels. Okay? And after the guy cleans up all the straw, v'amar lo, ten li schari. The employee says, okay, give me my wages, please. V'amar lo, and the employer says, tol masha sisa bischarecha. The employer says, you know what? I'm not going to pay you. Just you can keep all that straw. It's worth more than your wages anyways, and you can, you know, have a nice time with that. Ein shomalo, too bad. That's not an acceptable response. It's responsibility of the employer to pay the employee in cash. Now, this is a bit of a chiddush here. Just understand that normally, if you have if you owe someone money, you have a claim on them, so then the claim can be paid in metalton and fungible goods. So you could pay the guy in a gold bar, you could pay the guy in, you know, aluminum cans, you can take the recycler. If you give him the value of what the debt is, it doesn't matter if you're not paying in cash, you can pay it in kind, in stuff. However, that's not the case when it comes to a person's wages. An employee can expect and demand that he gets paid not in kind, not in stuff. He wants to get cash proper. So that's happening here. The employer tried to say, just take the value of your wages in straw. The employee can say, no, I don't accept that, and the employer has to pay him in cash. Now, Misha Kibla Love, if the employee accepts upon himself, okay, you know what, I'll accept the straw, it's worth more than the cash anyways, so then, v'amar lo, heilech scharcha v'ani etol es shali, now the employer realizes he made a bad trade, so he says, you know what, forget it, give me back my straw, and, you know, I'll give you the cash, and shomalo, too bad for him, it's too late. Now, let me speak this out for a second, it's too late only when the employee does a formal maisa kinyan, like he lifts up the straw or something like that, then it becomes his, the employee's. Until he makes that maisa kinyan by lifting it up, so it didn't become his. And therefore the employer indeed could renege and go back to paying him cash for his wages. Let me just contrast that with the previous case. In the previous case, when we're talking about bricks that fell into the neighbor's garden, a person's property, like his garden, can make a kinyan chatzer, can acquire on his behalf without him doing any action. So therefore, immediately upon accepting the deal, the neighbor with the garden would now own the bricks. But in our case here, the employee doesn't own the straw until he actually lifts it up. So before that, indeed, the employer could backtrack. But once the employee does his kinyan, too late. Now, new paragraph, as if it's like a new Mishnah. We want to discuss a person making use of the Rishus HaRabim, the public domain. So you think it was like, you know, some, you know, dirt road that's like between the village, which everyone has the right to pass on, and, you know, people want to make use of it for their own personal use because, you know, they didn't have space necessarily. So one of the things, and the first thing we're going to discuss here in the Mishnah, is one of the things they used to do is people who had livestock would have an excess amount of fertilizer. They basically give the manure that came from the livestock to other farmers to use as fertilizer. So that exchange would happen by, like, the person who had all the livestock would bring the manure out to the dirt road, you know, the Rishus HaRab, and then the guy who wanted fertilizer would take it from there. So that's making use of the Rishus HaRab because they're moving this manure through it. Is that allowed? So it says the Mishnah, it is allowed, but it's only allowed for, like, immediate removal. So that means simultaneously, or whatever, effectively, right away, the guy, they have to meet in the middle, and the guy bringing the manure can only put it in the public domain if the guy who wants the fertilizer can immediately make use of it and take it away. That's what the Mishnah says here, although the words are a little hard to understand. It says, Amotzi zevel rishus harabim, if one is transferring his manure into the public domain for collection by someone who needs fertilizer, Amotzi motzi v'hamazabel mazabel. So those words literally mean the one who takes out, and the one who's fertilizing fertilizes. What that idiom means is it has to happen, you know, back-to-back promptly. You can't just leave the manure out there for a while and take up space and cause a car accident or something like that. No, you can bring it out there, but immediately has to be removed on the spot. Let me make something clear. This is telling you that you're allowed to make use of the Rishus HaRabim. However, if something would happen, like in other words, if someone's right then, someone's cow goes walking by and slips on the manure and gets injured, so of course, whoever is the current owner of the manure, meaning the original owner, if it has been acquired yet by the new guy, or the new guy wants to take possession of it, so then the current bylum, the current owner of the manure, would be responsible for damages. So you have to differentiate between having a right to use the public domain, which they have, and being responsible for damage that you cause, which they also have. They have both right and responsibility. Okay, now the Mishnah says, what about processes that take a little bit longer than just handing off something? For example, it says, Ein shorin tit b'rishus harabim, you can't leave clay to, like, you know, I don't know what, sit and become cement as it whatever does its thing in the Rishus HaRabim. The Ein Lovin Levenim, and you can't leave bricks out there to become bricks because it takes a lot of time and you're sucking up the Rishus HaRabim and you have no right to do so, so that's not allowed. Aval Govlin Tit Rishus HaRabim, you can make short usage of the public domain to essentially, like, to knead up the clay to make it into cement. Avalo Levenim, but you can't use the public domain to make bricks, even just with the mixing of the clay, because there's the amount of time it takes to make the bricks is a long time, and you can't take up space in the Rishus HaRabim for so long a period. What happens if you're building construction that is exactly, like, you know, on the adjoining the Rishus HaRabim? So you're not in the Rishus HaRabim in terms of your construction, but you're building, let's say, a wall that, like, basically is right next to the Rishus HaRabim. So obviously you need to have to go into the Rishus HaRabim to lay those bricks. You know, have to put your equipment, to put up your crane, whatever you're doing. That has to happen in the Rishus HaRabim. So is that okay? So the Mishnah says, Habonim Rishus HaRabim, if you're building, now the Mishnah literally means if you're building in the Rishus HaRabim. It doesn't mean that you're building a wall in the Rishus HaRabim. That you could never do, of course, because it's not yours. But you're standing in the Rishus HaRabim to build that wall. Then, Hamevi Avana Mevi Vabona Bona. Kind of like the previous expression before of Hamotzi Motzi Vamazav Mzabel, it means you can bring the stones or the bricks, whatever they are, into Rishus HaRabim, but only if they're being immediately, promptly put into the wall. You can't leave the bricks there overnight and that kind of thing. So Hamevi Avana Mevi, the guy's bringing the stones to build the wall, brings it, Vabona Bona, and then they're built into the wall straight away. Vim Hizik, even though you're allowed to be there for the bricks temporarily, or in the previous case, the Mishnah, you're mixing cement, you're leaving the manure and so on. If you cause damage, Mishal Masha Hizik, you have to pay for the damages. Just because you're allowed to be there doesn't mean you're not responsible if something bad happens. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to argue on 2 points. He's going to argue on point number one, which is you actually, if you're doing construction in the Rishus HaRabim, meaning you have to, you know, your property is just connected to the Rishus HaRabim, so then you actually can set up shop there with putting the bricks to that to go in and, I don't know, bringing your crane, whatever you have to do, for 30 days. That's 1 point. Not immediate. It could be 30 days sitting there, says Rav Shimon Gamliel. And the second thing he says is, whenever you have permission to be there, so then you're not responsible if something bad happens, if injuries occurred, because you say, I have the right to be here. We should look where you're going. Okay? That is his 2 points of contention. The words don't say that fully. They just say, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, af misaken hu es malachto lifnei shloshim yom. He could even prepare his work for 30 days beforehand, meaning setting up the bricks and the crane, whatever the story is. Doesn't mention explicitly that he's off the hook, but in terms of liability, but he is, that's what the Gemara explains. In all events, the halacha does not follow Rav Shimon Gamliel, meaning you cannot set up shop 30 days before in the public domain, and if you are even in the public domain for 1 minute, and you're allowed to be there, But in that 1 minute, someone trips over your stuff, has like a boar, even though you're allowed to be there, you are fully liable to pay for the damages that your stuff causes.